Not too many years ago, I was presiding at a funeral for a man that I had come to know only in the last few months of his life. He was very ill, but taking his time about surrendering to the arms of mercy. And it was my privilege as his pastor to share some time near the end of that journey, getting to know him. We prayed, we talked, laughed, and we cried a few times. There were great stories shared between us, and then suddenly it was time for the funeral. A business associate and a golfing partner asked to give a eulogy, and I said, certainly. And he got up and began to talk. I sat in a chair like that one for what seemed to be an hour and a half. A lot longer than this homily, I can tell you. The gentleman, with all good intentions, told the congregation about all the things his friend had done and accomplished in his life, and I am sure that in the time it took, he didn't miss any of them. As he went on and on about this and that, I learned a lot of things. I got a lot of information about the man who had died, but as his friend went on, I began to realize that the speaker did not really know his colleague. He just knew a lot about him. And there's a big difference. There are many people these days who know a lot about Jesus Christ. These folks probably know even more about him than those people who were hounding him always to step into their trap. Some of those people John called the Jews at the time, they knew what he had done, and they could probably quote things they had heard he said. They had an idea of a Messiah, and he didn't fit that description. They didn't know him. They just knew about him. And sadly, it's not much different today. There are books and movies and plays and children's coloring books and videos and thousands of publications everywhere with all kinds of information about Jesus. But knowing Jesus Christ that way is hearsay. And it's a long way from knowing him personally. And that's the issue John is always raising in his gospel. Verses in this chapter come in reply to a question a not-so-friendly crowd put to Jesus about whether or not he was the Messiah. Refusing to fall into that trap of allowing himself to be defined by their Messiah concept, he replied that they couldn't understand him because they were not among his sheep. And then he goes on to describe those who were his own. You see, it's always about a relationship. A relationship that's real and intimate and ongoing. It is not enough to know about the Jesus of the past. We have to know and experience what Jesus is doing now in this church and in our lives day by day. And that relationship is just like every other one. It takes time. It takes a little work. It takes a lot of listening, a lot of attention, and it takes presence. Like me sitting in the home with that dying man. You had to listen. You had to be there. This is how you get to know someone. Some of those people were stuck on what Jesus was without any concern about who he was. They wanted to argue about a Messiah. He wanted to be their shepherd. The issue is, who is he, not what is he? That comes later. When you get to the point of who Jesus is, then you're going to know what he is. But they didn't want to put in the time and the effort to get to know who he was. Now, there are some who like to call this Good Shepherd Sunday. But I'm not so sure that's a good idea. Because you can't be a shepherd if there are no sheep. At least not for long. If this is Good Shepherd Sunday, then it's also Good Sheep Sunday. Because there's as much information about us in this whole gospel as there is information about Jesus. We're the people who belong to the flock, who listen and who obey the shepherd's call. We know what we must do: listen and obey. We also know who we are as children of God. And the more we work our way deeper into the wonder of that relationship, the deeper will be our faith and the richer will be our lives. While those who are nagging at Jesus over this Messiah stuff keep pushing for his identity, he pushes back to define another identity, ours. When this whole section of the gospel is over, we end up knowing as much about ourselves as we know about Jesus. In the few verses we hear today, we have an invitation that strikes at the heart of our contemporary society that so prizes and encourages individualism. This phenomenon that so marks this age of human history is a time of extraordinary loneliness. I think sometimes this is why there's so many people behaving so strangely and so often violently. The behaviorists call it antisocial behavior. I just call it loneliness. Most of the time, it's simply because someone is hurting so badly from a lack of attention and affection that they're going to get it any way they can. They don't feel like they belong. But this Jesus proposes that our identity comes from belonging, from joining and from committing ourselves to one another and to a family. I was struck this past week while sitting with this chapter of John's Gospel to notice that for the first time, a curious conflict of images occurs. It comes out of that second reading wherein John talks about that lamb who becomes a shepherd. This is an interesting thing. Christ is described here as the Lamb of God. There he is, a symbolic lamb, one of the sheep. Then the gospel calls him the shepherd. What's revealed to us is that Christ is both lamb and shepherd. In our tradition, we say that he is both victim and priest. More theologically, we profess that he is both human and divine. These seemingly contradictory juxtapositions are really a reminder that draws us more deeply into the incarnation of God, who has become one of us for the sake of our redemption. We draw from this that we have a God and a Savior who has been one of us, who has lived among us, experienced everything we know about human life from birth to death. This shepherd has been a lamb. We have a God who lives with us. We have a God who knows us from intimate experience, and a God who wants to be known, not known about, but known. It's a God who spent time with us. It's a God who has listened to us. Our voices are heard in these scriptures over and over again. Help me, Lord. Lord, that I may see. I want to walk. Lord, my daughter is ill with a fever. This is a Lord who comes to Martha and Mary in their grief. He embraces a grieving mother whose only son has died. He touches people no one else will touch. He reaches out to the lonely, to the shunned, and the avoided. And then, even in his most desperate hour, He listens to the cry of a dying criminal and makes him a promise. God hears us. We who choose to know this shepherd become part of his flock. He knows us. We know him. We stay in the fold and we listen. We make time to hear what he asks and what he promises. We're not out doing our own thing. We're always doing his thing. We care for one another and we care for what he cares about and who he cares about. This is what and who we are always becoming as members of Christ's church on Good Sheep Sunday.